Hallelujah. Thank you for being here today, Jehovah Shammah. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that was some powerful worship. I really felt the presence of God. I felt his goodness. I felt his love. It was mercy. How about you? Yeah. Are we started with the recording already?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone, to Lots of Love Ministries. Whether you've been with us from the start or today is your first time, we're so glad you're here. Over the past couple of months, we've been on an incredible journey exploring the names of the one true God. Each week, we've discovered a new facet of his character, a new promise to hold on to. When we began, we met God as Bore, our creator, the one who spoke the universe into existence, yet still cares for every detail of our lives. We saw him as Elohim, the mighty one, and then as El Elyon, God above all gods and powers. We learned to trust him as El Olam, the everlasting God, unchanging and eternal. And as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all-sufficient one who pours out abundance and strength, we found comfort in El Roy, the God who sees, who notices, and responds with compassion. As our journey continued, we learned God's covenant name, Yahweh, the great I am who I am, and a God, the one true God. We saw his victory as Yahweh Nisi, our banner, and his wholeness as Yahweh Shalom, our peace. And we discovered that Yeshua, the one true God, trustworthy in all his names. Last week, we explored three amazing names that show us God's heart for righteousness, his power, and his willingness to fight for his people. We learned about Yahweh Zikanu, the Lord our righteousness, the one who covers us and makes us right with him. We discovered Yahweh Zavaot, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, who commands heaven and earth. And we saw how God is Adonai Milchem Li, the Lord who fights for us, not just in ancient stories, but in our everyday lives, personally, powerfully, and faithfully. This week, we're moving from the battlefield to the pasture to see another side of his heart. Today, our focus is on two names that reveal God's gentle care and constant presence. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh Raha, or also known as Adonai Rohi. And the Lord is there. Yahweh Shammah, or Adonai Shammah. These names remind us that God is so much more than the one who wins our battles. He's the shepherd who walks beside us every step of the way. He guides us, provides for us, and never leaves us on our own. Whether you find yourself on the mountaintop or deep in the valley, his presence is steady and sure. Each of these names carries a promise for your life today. Whatever you're bringing, joy, questions, struggles, or hopes, God is ready to meet you right where you are. So let's open our hearts together and discover more of who he is, our shepherd, and the God who is always there. But before we dive into the lesson, let's pray. Abba, Father, we come before you today, hungry to know your heart. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our eyes to see your ways. And open our hearts to receive your love. As we learn about you as our shepherd and the one who is always there, let your presence be felt among us. Speak to each of us personally, and let your word transform our lives. May I, the teacher, have the teaching anointing fall upon me so that I can share your heart as the great teacher. Guide my every word. In Yeshua's name, amen. So we've been on this journey through the names of God. each one revealing something unique about who he is. These aren't just labels. They're invitations. Each name is a window into his character and a promise about what he wants to be in our lives. Today, we look at two beautiful names. Yahweh Raha, also known as Adonai Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And that comes from Psalms 23:1. I think we all know the 23rd Psalms, right? And Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. That comes from Ezekiel 48:35. So let's start with Psalm 23:1. Adonai is my shepherd, I shall not want. We've all heard this, right? This is one of the best quoted, most well-known, I think, Psalms in all the Bible. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But this isn't just poetic language. When David wrote this, he wasn't dreaming of something abstract. He was speaking as someone who knew sheep. David was a shepherd long before he was a king. He knew what it meant to care for a flock, guiding them, protecting them, providing for them, and knowing each one by name. The Hebrew word raha means to tend, to feed, to shepherd. It's not a distant kind of leadership. A shepherd lives with his sheep, walks with them, defends them from danger, and sometimes even sleeps at the door of the sheepfold to keep them safe. When David calls God his shepherd, he's saying, God is not just out there somewhere. He is with me, guiding, providing, protecting in a daily, personal way. Psalm 23 goes on in verses 2 and 3 to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice how intimate this is. A sheep won't lie down unless it feels safe. The shepherd's presence brings peace, even in the wild. The shepherd knows where the green grass is, where the quiet waters flow, and he leads the sheep there. God isn't just a leader, he's a nurturer. One of the most remarkable things about the shepherd-sheep relationship is the way the sheep learn to recognize and trust the shepherd's voice. Yeshua highlighted this when he said in John 10:3-4, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We are sheep. Are you a sheep? No, I am. Do you know his voice? I recognize his voice. In ancient Israel, shepherds didn't drive their sheep from behind. They walked ahead, calling out, and the sheep would follow. Trusting the voice they'd come to know, the shepherd's voice meant safety, direction, and provision. This is still true for us today. As followers of Yeshua, we are called to listen for his voice in our daily lives. He still leads, he still speaks, and he still calls us by name. Sometimes, with all the noise and distractions around us, it can be hard to discern his guidance. But the more we spend time with him, in his word and in prayer, the more we recognize when it's truly him leading us. Let's ask ourselves, are we making space to hear the shepherd's voice? Are we trusting him enough to follow where he leads, even when it's unfamiliar or uncomfortable? His voice always leads to life, to peace, and to the green pastures he's prepared for us. So let's open our ears and listen for our shepherd's voice and follow his leading. Amen. In verse 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We often picture a dining table set with dishes and delicious foods in the middle of a field, but a shepherd would have pictured something different. In the Middle East, table refers to tableland, the high, flat places in the hills where the best grass grows. Before leading the flock there, the shepherd would go ahead, remove poisonous plants, drive away deadly snakes or predators, and make sure the sheep could graze safely. So when David says, "You prepare a table before me," he's saying God goes ahead of us. He makes provision and protection, even when trouble is near. The sheep can eat in peace, even with enemies all around. In the ancient world, kings were often called shepherds of their people. David, once a shepherd, became a king, but he never forgot that he too needed a shepherd. By calling God Adonai Rohi, he was saying, "My leadership, my success, my peace, it all comes from God watching over me." Yeshua picked up this imagery too in John 10:11. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." God didn't just send someone else. He came himself in Messiah to lead and rescue us. But Yeshua didn't stop there. He called those who would lead his people, pastors, elders, and spiritual shepherds in the church, to follow his example. In John 21:16 to 17, after his resurrection, Yeshua told Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." The heart of a true shepherd is not power or position, but sacrificial love and care. The Apostle Peter later echoed this call when he wrote to church leaders in 1 Peter 5:2-3. "Shepherd God's flock among you. Watch over it, not under compulsion, but willingly before God. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Don't lord it over those entrusted to you, but become examples to the flock." Paul also charged the elders in Ephesus in Acts 20:28. "Take care of yourselves and all the flock of which the Ruach HaKodesh has placed you as overseers to shepherd God's community, which he obtained with the blood of his own." Shepherds in the church are called to lead with humility, to care and protect, to teach the truth, and to lay down their own desires for the good of those in their care, just as the good shepherd did. But the flock has a role too. I've spoken strongly to leaders in the past, but now I want to speak to the sheep. In Hebrews 13:17, we're encouraged, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as ones who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be no benefit to you." We are called to honor, pray for, and encourage those who shepherd us, responding to their care with trust and unity. Now, sometimes, as I've spoken to leaders in the past, they get a little, let's say, overbearing. And it makes it hard for the sheep to obey and trust them. So I still want to encourage you leaders to not be those kind of leaders. Be leaders that truly love and care for the sheep. So the shepherds among us, follow the pattern of Yeshua, the good shepherd. Love, serve, and lead with his heart, even when it costs you something. And to the sheep, receive that care with gratitude. Walk together in love and help create a community where the presence and character of the shepherd are known and seen by all. Good leaders, obedient, loving, trusting followers, being raised up to do the work of the ministry and become leaders themselves, where leaders have modeled how to lead Yeshua's way. Amen? But shepherding is more than just caring for people in general terms. It means paying close attention to the true state of your flock. As a shepherd in the body of Messiah, you're called to examine your flock, just like Yeshua did. Are the people under your care healthy? Not just in spirit, but in body and soul as well. Are they growing in their relationship with Yeshua, or simply attending services? Ask yourself, are you equipping them to live out their faith every day, not just on Sundays? Are they healing the sick, casting out demons, reaching the lost, and making disciples? Are they learning to hear God's voice for themselves and walk in the power of the Ruach? Think about it for a minute. True shepherding means preparing your people to do the work of ministry Monday through Saturday, not just filling seats on Sunday, but raising up workers for the harvest. Is your congregation organically growing? Are leaders being developed and sent out, even starting new communities and churches themselves? This is multiplication, the natural result of healthy shepherding. Let's look again at the example of Yeshua. He healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, cleansed the lepers, preached good news, but he didn't do it all himself. He raised up apostles, trained them, and sent them out to do the same. In Matthew 10:7-8, he said, "As you go, proclaim, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with za'at, leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give." Yeshua modeled the kingdom and then empowered others to walk in it. That is the responsibility of every shepherd, to lead, to care, to multiply by raising up others who will do the same. This is our job, to see the flock healthy, equipped, and active in God's kingdom, not just as spectators, but as participants and leaders themselves. Amen? Biblical shepherding is never about mere attendance or routine. It's about transformation and multiplication, the body growing in depth and in reach as each person steps into their calling. Like a family, aren't we the family of God? How is it done in natural family settings? Mother and father have children, and they care for them and train them up and raise them to go out of the house most often and have families of their own, multiplication, and the family line multiplies. This is how it should be in the church as well. We don't want to keep our children at home forever unless there's a special calling on their life. Like in my house, my son, although he's in his 30s, stays with me because he helps me care for my farm and take care of things around my house. And because I'm older and I don't have the strength that I used to have when I was much younger, he's a blessing and a help to me. So he has a special calling from God to stay here and care for me and help me. But I still pray and hope for him to have a wife someday and have a family of his own and multiply. The house of Jerfalcon will grow. Amen? I'm not trying to keep him a baby. I'm not trying to spoil him and take care of him. I expect him to be an adult and operate as an adult. And that's how we should be in the church. We shouldn't expect people to be dependent on us forever. We must teach them to be adult Christians, to grow up into Yeshua, to hear God's voice for themselves and go out and minister the graces and the healing and the deliverance out in the world. Even if they stay in the house that we lead for their entire lives, they should be leaders in the house. They should be doing the work of the ministry Monday through Saturday outside the house and bringing people in to the house, that the house may be multiplied. And others, you may want to grow up and send out to be multiplied in new houses around the community. So there's both ways, leaders in the house and leaders sent out of the house. Amen? So let's examine our flocks and even our own hearts and ask the shepherd to help us fulfill this high calling. Amen? Next, I want to talk about Adonai Shammah, the Lord is there. In Ezekiel 48:35, the prophet describes a vision of Jerusalem restored and renewed. And he writes, "The perimeter will be 18,000 cubits. From that day on, the name of the city will be Adonai Shammah, the Lord is there." And don't we want our houses of worship to have the Lord is there? We want Adonai Shammah to be in our house. Amen? The people of ancient Israel, this declaration was far more than just a hopeful phrase. It came at a time of deep sorrow and longing. Ezekiel himself was living in exile, a priest among a people who had seen their beloved Jerusalem destroyed, their temple burned to the ground, and the glory of God's presence, the Shekinah, depart from the Holy of Holies. For them, God's presence wasn't just a theological idea. It was the heartbeat of their national and spiritual life. To lose the temple was to lose the visible sign that God is with us. When Ezekiel prophesied the future city would be called Adonai Shammah, it was a radical promise, one that would have filled the exiles with hope. It meant that God's presence would return, not just to a building, but to his people. The city itself would bear the mark of God's abiding nearness. No more separation, no more distance, no more wondering if their sins had driven God away forever. Ancient Israel, this was the ultimate comfort, the assurance that God had not abandoned them, that he would dwell with them again, and that his presence would be the defining mark of their community. What does this mean for us today? Sometimes we feel like God is far from us, maybe because of failure or loss or simply the hardships of life. We might think God is only present in the holy places or with the holy people. Adonai Shammah tells us otherwise. The very name means that God is not confined to a building or a distant heaven. He's right here, right now, wherever his people are. And this is what we should be driving for in our meetings on Sunday or whatever day of the week we meet. The presence of God. We want Adonai Shammah. We want the Lord is here. We want him here with us. The Shekinah glory filling the house. We want God in his holiness, in his presence. Because if God is not with us, what's the point? If God is not here, what's the point? Matthew 18:20, Yeshua says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." You gather with one or two other person during the week, feel the presence of God and talk to him and be encouraged and instructed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. David understood this truth centuries before Ezekiel. In Psalm 23:4, he wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." It's his presence that gives us peace, because we know we're safe. We know that we can do all things because he's there to strengthen us. Amen? God's presence is not just for the easy times or the mountaintops. The shepherd walks with us even in our darkest valleys. His presence is unshakable, not dependent on our goodness, not lost when we wander, not absent in the hardest places. The author of Hebrews reminds us in Hebrews 13:5, For God himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. But maybe today you feel lost or alone. Maybe life has taken you into a valley where God seems silent or distant. Adonai Shammah is the answer. The Lord is there. He is with you in your pain, your questions, your waiting, and your wondering. You don't have to work for his attention or try to find your way to him. He's already come near. These names, Adonai, Rohi, your shepherd, and Adonai Shammah, the Lord is there, are promises you can hold on to. God guides, provides, protects, and restores. He is never absent, never abandoning, always present. The shepherd knows your name and walks with you, even now. Let this truth settle in your heart. You are never alone. The Lord is there. He's here. He's there with you. He's here with me. Our job on Sunday morning, or whatever day we meet, in worship, is to tune our spirits into his spirit and recognize that he is there, that he is Adonai Shammah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Adonai Rohi, our shepherd, thank you for your constant care, for guiding us when we're lost, for feeding us when we're hungry, for defending us when we're scared. Thank you for going ahead of us, preparing a table in the tablelands and in the valleys. Adonai Shammah, thank you for your presence. Even when we can't see or feel you, we trust that you are there. Help us to follow your voice, to rest in your provision, and to live every day knowing that we are never alone because you are here with us, that you never leave us or forsake us. And when we gather, even with one other person, in your name, you are there. Hallelujah. Tune us into your spirit today and every day to recognize your presence. Lord, we thank you. Even now, I feel the answer to our prayer that you would tune us into you, to your presence. We know, I know you are here. I feel you. I sense your presence, and I'm thankful. I praise you. I honor you. I give you glory. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be you. Take a moment right now. Just praise him and honor him and tune your spirit. Feel his presence here today with you. Let him be your shepherd. Pray in tongues. If you have your prayer language, pray in your prayer language. If you don't have your prayer language, ask the Holy Spirit to open up your voice to pray in the Holy Spirit language. The gift for you. Oh, hallelujah, shakabasi torokoshandaraba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you need healing in your body, I speak healing in the name of Yeshua. By his stripes you were healed. Let healing manifest in every part of your body today. Whatever you need, if your soul is wounded and bruised from harsh words or disappointments, and speak peace and wholeness to your soul. Let your spirit be strong and rise up in the power of Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Let your spirit, man, be strong in his word and in his spirit. Let joy come and fill your heart. Peace, wash over you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And if you're listening to this online, even at it's a replay, and you need prayer, send me an email. lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Hallelujah. Or you can find me on Facebook, Lots of Love Ministries Christian Bookstore. You can find me on there and send me a message. I'd love to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless up your holy name. If you have questions, need answers, you can also write me. Send me an email. I'd love to answer your questions. I'd love to help disciple you, help you to grow and become an adult in Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in Bay County, Florida, and you want to meet with us, be part of our house of worship, contact me. I'd love to have you join us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Yeshua, the Good Shepherd, we pray and declare and decree all these things. Hallelujah. Wow. I pray you were encouraged and challenged by today's study. Next week, we will continue with more names of God. So I want to invite you. I'm excited. Excited to know your God even better. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Know our God. Amen. And be examples of his goodness, his mercy. Declaring the kingdom of heaven is near. It's right here within your reach. You can have it. Reach out and take it. So until next week. Listen for and follow the voice of your good shepherd. Amen. Yeshua is your good shepherd. Listen to him. He speaks to you through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And may he bless your home with shalom.